Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
The day of Pentecost was a glorious day because it was on that day that the Apostle Peter preached Christ and Him crucified. Some 3,000 heard, believed, and obeyed. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it is said of them, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." There's a word found a number of times in the New Testament that's pronounced koinonia. Now, you can go to heaven without knowing that. But that just introduces our subject this morning. It is the word that's translated here in Acts 2:42 by the word fellowship. It means joint participation. In Romans chapter 15, it's translated contribution. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it is translated communion. In Galatians 6, it's translated communicate and to share. The idea behind this word is a sharing in common, holding things with a mutual interest, being involved in a mutual activity, indeed a partnership. One with the other, participating together. Now it is said of the Jerusalem church that they continued in this kind of fellowship. It's my purpose this morning, brethren, for us to look into the fellowship of the saints. And fellowship of the saints is certainly adequately and well illustrated for us as we see the Lord's church presented to us as a body. Christians are saints. Saints mean sanctified, set apart people. People that have been called out. People who are members of the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And just as there is to be harmony and fellowship in the physical body of all the members, with each member working harmoniously with all the others, each one functioning in its own capacity, so it is with each member of the Lord's church. Each one working for a common goal and a common good with a mutual interest and a mutual activity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, Paul wrote, "There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Brethren, in Christ, we put aside our secular and our selfish and our artificial distinctions that are characterized of those things that separate people in this world. They are removed and we enjoy a spiritual oneness, one with the other. As Paul wrote in Galatians 3 and verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, as you can well imagine, there are those things in which a Christian is to have no participation. There are those things in which he is simply not to have fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20, Paul said, "I would not that ye have fellowship with the devil." In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, Paul says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there the Apostle Paul speaks of the fellowship of brethren, and he points out that there is no fellowship between light and darkness. There can be no fellowship with God and the devil. Christians are to be followers of the light. Christians are to be followers of God. Therefore, they will have no fellowship with those things that are sinful and those things that are evil. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul wrote, "I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators." And he goes on down to say, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat." Obviously, there are those things and those people with whom, therefore, we are not to have fellowship. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul wrote this: "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." You know, there are some folks in the world today who are trying to give tradition a bad name, as if something was traditional, it's necessary to be cast aside for something new. That is the parroting of those sometimes who are more interested in something new than they are in something that is true. There are traditions of men that we are not to be following as if they came from God. But there are traditions from God that we must follow and cannot set aside as if they had come from men. We read here of the word tradition. It simply means that which has been handed down. The gospel has been handed down. The unchangeable truth of God has been handed down. And we are to follow in that tradition, and those that won't, we cannot have fellowship with them. John wrote in 2 John 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." And then he tells us why. "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." Right along that line, Paul wrote in Romans 16, verse 17, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Well, I cite these verses, and there are others to which I could refer, to show that when we talk about the fellowship of the saints, there are those people and there are those things with which the Christian can have no participation. We should not have an interest in them. We should not be involved in that kind of activity. Well, in what are we to have fellowship? With whom are we to have fellowship? I call your attention at 1 John chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. "That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." Notice, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." We are to have fellowship with one another as we are together in Christ. We are to have fellowship with deity. We are to have fellowship with others who have fellowship with deity. My beloved brethren, I suggest to you that Christian fellowship is the greatest fellowship on the face of the earth. And it is the kind of fellowship for which our Lord so fervently and earnestly prayed prior to His crucifixion. In John 17, after He had prayed for Himself, after He had prayed for His disciples, He also prayed, amazingly, even for those of us here today. He said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Oneness in Christ is the basis of our fellowship with each other. Without that oneness in Christ, there cannot be fellowship with each other. Let's notice some of the specifics in which we are to have fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" There the word communion is the same word, fellowship. "The bread which we break, Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Paul here was teaching concerning the Lord's Supper. He was teaching concerning the right way to partake of the Lord's Supper. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we studied a few weeks ago, this is one of the avenues, one of the items, one of the authorized ways and manners that we show our honor and respect unto Him. The bread represents and is emblematic of the broken body of Christ. The cup is the emblem of the blood of Christ. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper together, as we have a mutual interest in this mutual activity, as those who are in Christ participate in this, we show our brotherhood together, and we show our fellowship with deity. This is one of the things in which we are to demonstrate fellowship. And along that line, brethren, I suggest to you it's a very serious thing. And the Scripture makes it a serious thing for any Christian to ignore and to deliberately omit demonstrating the proclamation of Christ and demonstrating this communion and fellowship that God has ordained that we observe. As one of our songs says, when we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union while partaking of the bread. And I think we can easily see, without a great deal of belaboring it, we have mutual activity when we worship through song. We have mutual activity as we pray together, though one brother leads us, as Brother Jimmy did a moment ago. We all pray together. We have fellowship in the giving of our means, because these means go into a mutual fund, a mutual treasury, for the purpose of the perpetuation and spread of the cause of Christ. When we study the Word of God, we're having fellowship together, and we are showing we are of Christ, and we are of one another. Not only in worship ought to we have this fellowship, we ought to have fellowship in our work for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 20, the Lord presents His disciples as being like laborers in the Master's vineyard. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. And it's significant that Paul was writing to people who had begun to alienate themselves one from another. This one was following Paul, and this one was following Cephas, and this was following after Apollos, and there's some others that said they were following Christ, and they were divided. And Paul says, that's not right. That division should not exist. Paul said, He planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. We are fellow laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We work alongside together. We are to support one another. We should certainly encourage one another. We should help one another in carrying out the gospel. We should help one another in doing the work that the church is ordained to do, to save the lost, to strengthen the saved, to be benevolent toward those as we have opportunity who stand in need. This is the work of the church. And we are to all participate in that conduct. This fellowship of which I speak to you, yes, even in our heart and in our thoughts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. To be together in the same mind obviously implies we will think alike. Paul brought it out again in Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation or your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. But whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we even share our thoughts. Christian people think the same way about certain things. We think the same way about God. We think the same way about Christ as our Savior. We think the same way about the Holy Spirit and the way that the Holy Spirit operates by and through the Word. We think the same way as to how we are to worship God, again according to the instructions of God. We think the same way about what is God's plan of salvation. We think the same way about heaven and about hell and about sin and about the devil. These are things where God has spoken to us, and we are His servants and He is our master, and we think as His will has revealed. In this we have fellowship one with the other. Now, to be sure, there are certain areas of human opinion and judgment where it is not binding by the Lord. We may have variances, and even there, we think with charity one toward the other. This Christian fellowship, therefore, extends not only to our actions, it goes even into our hearts, because we follow what Paul spoke of in Ephesians 1, the one faith. There is one faith. But even to a more practical side of this fellowship, our fellowship goes into the realm of sharing in suffering. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, Paul said, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it." Now back again to the body illustration that the Lord has used. Why, you know from experience. Let's say that your head is suffering from an excruciating headache. Why, your entire body sympathizes with it. If you should injure your leg or break your arm or something of that nature, your entire body is sympathetic with it. And brethren, it's that way when a member of the church suffers. This is what the Lord is talking about when He urges us to bear ye one another's burdens. The pressures and the problems that are characteristic of our existence here upon this earth, and especially those things that come as a result of us following Christ. We are together in those things. We are never alone in your suffering when you're in the right fellowship of Christian people. And further than that, Paul went on to say, one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Brethren, Christian people are not rivals. Christian people are not competitors against one another. Christian people never try to put down the other person. And when someone is superior in doing something that we're capable of doing, we rejoice with them that they can do that. Aren't you glad you're on the same team they are? I've illustrated it before, back 100 years ago when I tried to play football. I wasn't as good as everybody on that team. I thought I was, but I knew better down deep in my heart. And there were those that were far superior, could run faster, hit harder, go longer, and everything else. And I was sure glad they were on the same team I was. It never made me mad when some of the glory boys of the backfield made a touchdown, even though all I did was butt heads on the line every time. But when they scored, I got 6 points as well as they. And when they didn't make it, when the hero dropped the pass or something like that, I lost just like they did. We rejoice with those that rejoice in Christian fellowship. We weep with those that weep in Christian fellowship, such is the teaching of Romans 12 and verse 15. And then that little one chapter book of Jude, where Jude urges us to contend earnestly for the faith. He started to write about something else. And he mentioned what he started to write about. He started to write about our salvation. And he described that salvation this way: our common salvation. We have a salvation in which we all share and all partake and all are a part. We have the fellowship because we have the same goals, we have the same mind, we go by the same standard, we entertain the same hope, and we are helping each other eventually obtain that salvation which God wants to give unto us. And it is because our fellowship is indeed a holy one. Each one through Christ is able to partake of that same salvation along with all others who come to Christ. For you see, brethren, each one that's in the family of God, the body of Christ, His church, we were once, and you might describe it this way, spiritually as hopeless as a leper is physically. The leper is doomed to death, unclean, exiled, excluded. But now we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Therefore we're not excluded, we're included. We're not defiled, we have been clean. We now belong to Christ, and as a result we belong with one another. Such is the nature of the fellowship of the saints. And then there's another little matter. We have fellowship with each other in our daily association. I think one of the great pleasures of life is being able to have association with Christian people. And I feel sure you share that same kind of attitude. You'd rather be with Christian people than any people on the face of the earth, and rightly so. We converse with each other. We rejoice in the activities where we have contact with one another. We're glad when our paths can cross one another in a happy way. We're glad to have association with each other. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 16 is a beautiful phrase speaking of those who belong to God. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. I wonder why they did that. Why, they enjoyed that. They benefited from that. They drew upon the strength of one another. They were helpful to each other. And one of the most strengthening and encouraging byproducts, it's not the prime purpose, but byproducts of even assemblies such as this, is that we get to see and to visit and converse and talk with and be friendly with and happy with and enjoy the association of brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're glad to see one another if in the course of the week. But you know, I was just thinking the other day, if it wasn't for the church services, I probably wouldn't see many of you, hardly at all. I just don't see a lot of you. You go to work, or you go to play, or you stay home, or you do this, the other, and I do the same things. And we just don't see one another until here comes Sunday. We get to see one another again. Here comes Wednesday, and some of us get to see one another. Some of us get to see one another again. Now, I got a little frog in my throat there, you see. And we enjoy being together. We look forward to that occasion. Of course, we don't come for that primary purpose. We come to worship God and to do those things that will build us up spiritually. But who in the world would question or doubt that this is one of the happiest hours of the week? Because of the fact we enjoy fellowship one with the other. And we demonstrate this by our contacts and visits with each other, and even eating together, as we shall do following this particular worship service. It is an occasion in which to rejoice and to be glad. Brethren, when we understand, when we appreciate the fellowship of the saints as the Bible presents it, cannot we see what a warm relationship it is? And it's one of the great beauties of life. The brotherliness that we have together, and how we can be comforted and united, it is something for which we can give thanks. And we go through life hand in hand, heart in heart, side by side, serving God, helping each other get to heaven. If you turn in your songbook to number 18, That's not a hymn that we use ordinarily as an invitation song. I asked Brother Greg if he would to lead that song for us today because it tied in with the thoughts I'm trying to present to you. Because I think it's very fitting with the idea of Christian fellowship. It's one of those beautiful songs that expresses in a very adequate way the great fellowship of the saints. I think we enjoy singing it. And this morning particularly, I will have us, as we sing all four verses, please, that we will sing it with each Christian, sensing very keenly in his own heart a sincere love and concern and tie with every other Christian, not only here, but every faithful child of God throughout the world. It's our goal to nurture each other. It's our purpose to encourage each other, to strengthen the oneness that, thank God, characterizes us here at this congregation. But brethren, wherever there is unity in the church, you can be sure the devil will be at work. Why, the devil's not going to disturb a church that's all shattered to pieces. He's already torn that one up. He'll go on to somewhere else. For that reason, we must constantly be alert. And we will stand on guard. And we will not allow forces of evil to disrupt this fellowship one for the other. You see, we must have the attitude that Abraham had. And the Bible student knows where I'm going. When Abraham and his family came into the land that God had promised them, why, the herdsmen of Lot, his nephew, and the herdsmen of Abraham began to have strife between them because there just wasn't enough water in a given area to accommodate all their herds and flocks. Abraham was wise enough to know the best time to stop strife is right at the potential of it. Right at the very potential of it. And he knew that that strife between their herdsmen could, if not checked, spread into strife between them. So he said, Lot, you look out over the country and you take whatever part you want. And I'll take whatever's left. And let there be no strife between us. And he told why. You know the phrase. Abraham said, for we be brethren. And that's the way it is with those of us here, isn't it? You need not look and turn at the neighbor beside you or behind you, but isn't that the way that it is here? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Isn't that precisely what the Lord expects? Isn't that identical to what the Lord prayed would exist when He prayed for oneness and that we have fellowship with each other? There may be some here today who have strayed from the fold. I would that you could be constrained to renew your allegiance to God and reattach your fellowship with deity through repentance, confession, and prayer. For thereby you would also reattach that wonderful fellowship with your brethren. You would be restored into His good services. And should there be even one or more, and not yet in Christ, I would that you could be made to realize the greatness of salvation, the great mercy and love and grace of God, that you would lay hold on it by obeying His will, and you too could come to know the fellowship with God and fellowship with the saints. Brethren, as we stand together to sing this song, would you please, all of us together, focus heavily upon the beautiful sentiments of it. Make it a part of our heart and a part of our life and a part of our demonstration before the world. We be brethren.